Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this, my friends, is a Four Center podcast feed. I'm Kevin Hansen.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Cues episodes. The Q stands for questions, and the news stands for news. Or maybe someday just new, if we only have one piece of news.
This is Four Center, ends and cues. That's right. my text messages, you know, they're not quite my mom's essays on text message, but I'm still a complete sentence guy.
Yeah, I'm still pretty close to the old, like, Civil War letter of, "Dearest Jonathan, it has been a fortnight since we have texted."
So we're diving into all things Star Wars and tech. We'll be getting on our Razer phones to send text-based messages to each other. We got some great questions from all of you, interesting news, some stuff we've even talked about before, but it's in the news and confirmed again. Well, before we do all that, though, let's remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. I'm just making up places to listen to books. A little bit later, we're going to Four Center recommends you can get an audiobook on us. We got a bit of a homework assignment again this week. So that is one offer, but Joseph, that's not all.
That's right. We've been running this other offer. It is from Insight Editions. They are a publisher of a ton of great books in general, but specifically great Star Wars books. They are offering 35% off across their website with a special Force Center code, and you can get this discount by entering the coupon code FC35, or you can visit the website with the specific link insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. And this week, we're recommending to pre-order a book that is going to come out on May 4th. This is the time of the year where we start looking forward to the grand Star Wars holiday, May 4th. And the new book that is coming out from Insight Editions is Star Wars Galactic Baking. You can get a discount on it with the code FC35. And this is just, they've had some other cooking books. They've got the Great Galaxy's Edge one. This is just a straightforward trip across the galaxy, Ken. Some of the recipes that are in this are the Mustafarian Molten Lava Cakes, Cloud City Marshmallows, Life Day Cake, Lothcat Kibble, Keshian Spice Bread, and Dagobah Bog Pie, just to name a few. Which of those are you excited to eat?
The Mustafar Lava Cake might be, but I'm this might be a Ken Purchases book here. First of all, I had the notes up. I made notes on it yesterday. I didn't. This is our ad copy, so I'm not going to stare at it. As I was listening to you talk, I glanced down and I thought, Galactic Banking? That's a weird book.
It's written from the perspective of the Muns. Yep, it's really, really in depth. It's a lot of information about how interest works on different planets in Star Wars. It's, it's dense, but it's informative.
I kind of want it now. I kind of want it, but I also want Galactic Baking.
I would happily take different Star Wars characters' financial advice, right? Mm-hmm. Everything from Watto to Palpatine, how to handle your money, the Star Wars book. That's a good weird comedy book. But for this one, Galactic Baking, not banking. I always love these kind of books. I love the, they've got this great sort of like show personship of like, hey, the Cloud City Marshmallows are less a food and more a sculpture when you look at the picture of them. But then some other ones are just like, yeah, no, spice bread. That sounds great. I would love to eat that. And then imagine that I'm eating illegal spice from Kessel while I'm just eating a delicious loaf of bread.
It's laced with drugs? This bread is laced with drugs?
That's the one that jumps out at me. Keshian spice bread, if you know what I mean. No.
Want to have some spice bread?
I want to rethink my life and eat the Keshian spice bread at the same time.
That's awesome. So check out all of that. I really do love what they put out over an Insight Edition. So check it out on us. Offers for you, our Force Center friends, Star Wars life adventures, all those things. It's been a busy week again for a lot of people in the world, a lot of you listening, and for Joseph and I as well. So Joseph, I'll tell you right now, not a lot of Star Wars adventures unless you count two depressing spins down the toy aisle.
Well, I definitely, I can't wait. I want to hear about your life adventures first. I want to hear about what your depressing toy aisle adventures were.
Yeah, let's serve the veggies before you have the spice bread fun here. I've had a couple make the trips to what we call a big Target around these spots because we have a tiny mini Target near us and a big one. So it's a big Target. I need to go get some stuff. And, going to take that swing. And Grace was like, you're going to do it? I'm like, I'm going to do it. And it was nothing. There was a ton of Grogu's, plush and stuffed and robotic Grogu's. God bless them. Love it all. But the figures, just empty blank section.
And nothing.
I get it. Again, we always talk. We're in a different toy era. But it just, a little part of your heart just kind of breaks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're in this weird place where it seems like there is not the demand to make the shelves robust, like the actual Star Wars section is, quite a bit smaller than it has been at different times. But we're also at a time where there is enough demand that the small section is always empty for the most part.
Right.
And it's really frustrating. They're just like, obviously, there is a certain amount of demand because somebody bought all of these. And then here I am walking up wanting to buy them and they're not there.
But no immediate plan to refill all the grief cargas that were on the rack that I saw that I wanted. I was like, I can't not have grief in my collection. I love them so much. And then gone, and nothing backfilled. It's depressing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was talking about my Star Wars adventures last week. I think it's a target that I've had luck at. It's maybe a little less traveled by collectors for some reason. And like I said, it was great to see Dark Rey, Queel, Jar Jar. Right. There are only a few Jar Jar, but 3 3/4. Like at this point, I feel like it is like an old myth to whisper. Like, do you know that they say once upon a time there were 3 3/4 action figures at Target?
and look, I'm all about checking old style mom and pop toy shops. There's just, you know, fortunately not a lot left. We know, and I don't have one nearby, but I'll check them too in the pursuit of the joy of getting a figure off the rack. I could press add to cart like anybody, and that's fine and that's fun, but there's something about pulling it off the rack and putting it in your basket. It's an earned, it's an earned toy.
Add to basket is better than add to cart in my opinion. It's a better, more robust experience. Any other Star Wars experiences then, or life adventures?
Other than Force Center related, which sometimes counts in a way because it hits you in a different way, but nothing much. Kind of head down, nose to the grindstone kind of work week for me, which has been a blast. I actually love working. I am the laziest workaholic, meaning I just want to work real hard to one day never have to work again. and this is all fun work. So, but one of those weekends. So yeah, not a lot.
Yes. No, I've often told people that my true life goal is to feel like I have done enough cool stuff so I can just sit on the couch.
Yes.
I think we are of the same persuasion there.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I had a head down working week as well. I've been having a lot of fun reading Into the Dark. I'm about 60 pages in, really enjoying that as always. That was a nice bit of Saturday afternoon for my wife and I. I had some quality couch time with some old Doctor Who episodes, and then I switched to a different galaxy and read Into the Dark for a while. But you know, the Star Wars adventure that I had, it's not really homework. It was just a joyful homework, I guess. Anyway, my wife and I are going to do an episode of my other podcast, Obsessed, about the Muppet Show, because it a great love of my childhood. Mm-hmm. Sarah realized that she's seen a bunch of Muppet stuff. She's seen a bunch of Muppet references, but she hadn't really seen the Muppet Show proper that was just added to Disney Plus. So we've been watching, you know, an episode here, an episode there. And last night we watched the Mark Hamill Star Wars episode,
yes,
which, you know, I've seen as an adult, but I haven't seen in several years. And it was really, really fun to see again with all of the Star Wars talking that we do. And with all of that sort of, you know, in my mind to watch that great episode.
I love that. I'm excited for the Muppet Show to show up. I actually sat down this week while I was working. I watched about the first 4 episodes. Big part of my youth as well, like you at a. Yeah, so I'm kind of working my way up to the Hamill one. I'm excited, and some good Pigs in Space. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, yeah. And we've been jumping around. We started with a later season with Gene Kelly, because my wife is, you know, a dancer and big fan of old Hollywood like myself. And we've been watching a lot of Gene Kelly movies. So we actually we had a super weird double feature. Like, neither of us had ever seen Xanadu, and we wanted to see Xanadu. And it's like, let's watch the Muppet episode with Gene Kelly, and that will be like the trailer for Xanadu. And boy, was it a weird experience. But the Mark Hamill, like, just, you know, as many people on social media have noted, that clearly at the time, the intention for the big finish is, you know, let's of the that episode of Muppet Show is let's do a medley of songs with the word star in them. But, you know, ending with When You Wish Upon a Star, knowing that the Muppets and Star Wars will both be bought by Disney.
Yes.
Is this weird, like, the will of the Force, the will of the industry? I don't know. But you know what I really appreciated is really, I don't think I've ever really, really watched it with the, I'm going to put my historian hat on before I watch it. I'm going to look up the air date.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to really process it, not from any point of nostalgia, but I'm going to process it from what was known and unknown about Star Wars at that time. And knowing that it came out, you know, in the US in February of 1980, before Empire, and seeing that joke that's really funny for just a Muppet Show joke of Darth Nader, and there's the joke about, like, who could that be under the mask? And then there's the big profile turn, and you see it's Gonzo's nose, and it could not be anyone but Gonzo. Great Muppet Show joke. But then knowing that that's kind of like a poking at there's a mystery about who Vader is, and maybe you'll find out more in the theater, kids.
That's a great context. I had forgot it was that close to Empire. I thought it always moves maybe post New Hope, closer to that, but that's a great pull.
Yeah, it's definitely like in my memory of when I saw it, I think I must have, watched a rerun because I am 99% sure, you know, those young memories are foggy that I saw it, you know, after Empire. But who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But it was a joy to see.
Yeah, we could do Muppet Center. We could grab our pal Tony Thaxton. I was watching his tweets all week and weekend because we all kind of shared experiences. My big confession, I'll tell you this. I used to be nervous that they were messing up in front of a live audience in that theater. I always had a sense of tension. It really worked for me as a kid.
They can really convince you that there are high stakes and everything really can and will fall apart.
They did.
So that was a really fun Star Wars adventure, and hopefully we're going to be having some more Muppet adventures.
Hopefully indeed. From the Muppets of yesteryear to the Star Wars news of now, let's look at some Star Wars headlines and get ready for real this time. It's really happening. The Bad Batch is coming. Here they come. Rumors were out there trying to take away the fun of the big reveal, but hey, it's confirmed now. The Bad Batch will debut on May 4th, but check your local listings for specific release dates around the world. I know some of those can vary. And then this will be followed up. The second episode will follow shortly on Friday, May 7th. It is a week of Bad Batch, then episodes every Friday thereafter, until this season is done. Oh my gosh, 10, 12, 20? I can't remember how many episodes we get. I didn't look that up.
I tried to look it up and I don't know. I could not find it on a quick Google. So
31 episodes of The Bad Batch coming our way.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about this show and our varying opinions and excitement levels that are sometimes have changed for me. It's like, but at the end of the day, it's all new Star Wars and I'm very excited. So now that we have a date, Joseph, are you ready? And what do you think about this release strategy?
Oh yeah, no, I'm super ready. I know I've said before on our news discussions why I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited for the world building, seeing that sudden realization in the galaxy of like, yay, the war is over and we're a stronger government now. We're not a republic. We're an empire. Wait, I'm really looking forward to being in that time period. The idea of separatist embers that need to be put out is thrilling to me. I hope they're going to get into the sudden rise of crime lords, very beginning of rebellion. Mm. Lots of great world building possibilities for this exact era of Star Wars and the perspective of clones. Also just really excited for the Echo perspective. Every time I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, it's like those episodes of Clone Wars, but then like, yeah, but Echo joined them. And that's going to change the dynamic when Echo is one of the main characters. So those are the couple of things that I'm, you know, excited about for the actual show and hopeful that we're going to get to see.
Yeah. The Echo thing is, I love that you pointed that out. Yeah. Because those episodes, The Bad Batch, you could say backdoor pilot, though the episodes were constructed years ago, but to finally get to see him. But yeah, the Echo thing is just to take that, I guess, what, pure clone perspective? I don't know. And someone who made that choice. Choice is big with these clones, and we're discussing that in the next upcoming week and in Clone Wars Report with the Deserter episode coming up. I think that's going to be an interesting little wrinkle indeed. It will take it from beyond just Star Wars A-Team to maybe a little oomph, which is something I'm excited for. And we've discussed that, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really excited, too, to just see kind of how they're going to build out this sort of core idea and theme that's going on with the Bad Batch of they are clones who are different, right? So they arise from something that is supposed to be rigid. The clones are all supposed to be the same. So they just their existence really gets into the heart of this big Star Wars idea that I really like of the organic versus the rigid, you know, starting way back with do you listen to the targeting computer or do you use the force and follow your feelings? And that's so baked into what the Bad Batch is. And then Echo's gone through this experience where he was made to be, you know, mechanical against his will. And now he's incorporating that as a part of who he is. Mm. And then that's all set against the story of the rise of the empire, where their power is all in rigidity and control and sameness. So I'm just really interesting to see, like, this core idea of Star Wars to me is just super baked into this concept. And I'm really curious to see what different things they're going to have to say about that idea.
Yeah, well, you know, this is could be one of those eras. I think we're always interested, especially prequelists like ourselves, of the moments and days and weeks right after the fall of the Republic. But to really take a look at it from the inside, I hope they pull back the curtain, so to speak, and maybe see a little bit more, and also just some fun action, some pew pew, Fennec Shand, all those kind of cool things. But I hope they take some big swings.
Yeah, and the Pew Pew and the Fennec Shand are both going to be there for sure, and I'm super excited about those as well. Yeah. Ken, I don't know if you are fascinated by this, but I have been fascinated by just the release schedule and just the weird new time that we're in.
Yeah.
That obviously content is the ruler. Everybody wants more content because that's what keeps people excited about streaming. It's what gets people to sign up. Mm. And there's been this kind of slow... Disney Plus started right with this promise of just a mountain of content, in particular Star Wars and Marvel. Mm. And we're now, the machinery is now really up and rolling. And, you know, I had this conversation that I was talking about a couple episodes ago with my friend Ken Plume, podcaster, brings me to Dragon Con, great guy all around, Muppet expert. Check him out on social media for some great Muppet threads. And we were just kind of nerding out about all the great stuff, and we're saying, hey, he was asking me when Bad Batch was going to come out, and I was like, I know it's 2021. And then we both together were like, okay, well, they probably want to let Marvel shine, so they're going to let WandaVision finish. Oh, but then Falcon Winter Soldier is coming out, so I bet it'll be, you know, spring. And then he was like, spring, it's going to be May 4th. So, like, you know, we talked out this release schedule, and it's really interesting to me that Falcon Winter Soldier is only 6 episodes, so it will be over right before we get this launch of Bad Batch, first on May 4th, but then falling into that now familiar and coveted Friday
right.
drop place. And then Loki premieres June 11th. So unless Bad Batch is really short, eventually they're going to overlap. And I'm just kind of intrigued what that's going to do to the pop culture conversation. Because right now it's like we kind of have this... for myself as a fan of both Star Wars and MCU, it's just like I have this long ongoing feast, and like I have to get up early on Friday. You know, I used to stay up late for Mandalorian.
Right.
Now I get up early Friday for WandaVision. And like at some point then by June, if Bad Batch is a little bit longer, there's the possibility that like I stay up late for a Bad Batch and get up early for a Loki.
that almost makes me. No, that's number one. Interesting indeed. The business of this all and when they do it and how they know. And May 4th makes a lot of sense. But then, yeah, following up with Loki. So if they're doubling up those episodes, yeah, I wonder, this is probably eight episode season, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to lock it in. Only because I'm coming from the perspective of to your question there of just like, do they want it to overlap? Is that smart? Will they have to eventually? Overlap, and is this a way to do it? Bad Batch isn't Mando. It isn't even Kenobi. Which I by the way, I kind of like a little bit of buffer between the live action shows to let them all breathe a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we could handle having the overlap as nerds with this bounty of content in our lives.
Yeah. Something is going to have to give with that Friday spot, because I think it has turned out to be such a huge success to have the weekly episodes, right? And, and give people time to discuss and debate and write think pieces about what is going to happen next. And all that has clearly been a great, I think, viewer experience for the most part, because that's what I see. Maybe other people don't like it, but all the conversation I see or have is enjoying the weekly drop.
Yeah.
But it's kind of now between... you know, Mando and WandaVision both working really well in this Friday spot to generate that conversation over the weekend and into the next week. You know, are we going to get to a point where, like, you know, Mondays are Star Wars and Fridays are, right, you know, MCU, or, you know, how that's going to balance out?
Yeah, I'll be pushing for Mondays for recording purposes. That'll be that. Yeah. I mean, the business of the, I mean, we're in a crazy time. I mean, I just, I have to cancel one streaming service, sign up for another. I just got the, and I like it. I've adjusted pretty easily. Even though I'm from the generation that's like, look, it's 5 o'clock, local news is on, and then some show, a game show, then a primetime sitcom. I grew up in that era. You could count on your watch what was on TV. But I like the world of possibilities, and Bad Batch is, could be not, I don't want to say experiment, but just kind of, seeing if they can keep that ball rolling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't expect Bad Batch to drive the amount of traffic mm-hmm. in the general public as Mandalorian did. So that'll be interesting to see, kind of how they handle that. But I know, for you and I, we will be excitedly watching every episode as they drop.
Absolutely. Bad Batch coming May 4th. We'll be ready with, I guess, the Bad Batch report. We'll work on what we're going to do with that ourselves here, too, which is part of the question of are we ready? We have to make sure we are, too, structurally here at Force Center. Next headline. This is a little bit of deja vu as well. Daisy Ridley leaves the Star Wars door ajar. Your Star Wars door is ajar. While promoting her new movie, Chaos Walking, with Tom Holland, Daisy Ridley was asked about Star Wars and would she return. This is an interview on GameSpot.com, reported by every other website out there. She said, I'm always open to a revisit, but also the beautiful thing is this wonderful, huge universe with all these stories that have yet to be told. I think there's a lot of cool things to be made before any potential revisit. Speaking more generally about her time making Star Wars, Ridley said she had a wonderful time making them, even if she's saying goodbye to Rey for now. I don't think it'll ever feel properly like goodbye because it's just such a wonderful little web of people. It's a really nice club to be part of. Plus, I had such a good time. I love my experience in terms of revisiting the character. I think that's a bye-bye for now. And then the final note here, she did mention, though, that seeing Mark Hamill in Mandalorian, quote, floored her. So we're going to put that all into a big conversation bowl here, Joseph. Reach in for some chips and salsa on Daisy Ridley and the door of Star Wars ajar. What do you think about all this? And let's maybe look to the future from where we are now to what we might want Rey to return for.
Yeah, yeah. I think that this article on GameSpot is quoting part of an Empire article that I think really? Is not out yet. But then I'm sure everybody is quoting GameSpot.
Well, and then because MovieWeb ran it, and I got nothing against these websites. I don't know, but then like some people were crediting MovieWeb. It's yeah. Who knows anymore? Sometimes it's yeah. simple, but yeah, good point.
Yeah, I want a website that's just called Dubious Source at this point, so you just know from when you click on dubioussource.com that you got to dig for where did it actually come from? Which web of sites is being quoted, yeah. But these all are legitimate quotes, it looks like. But I mean, I think that's always my mm-hmm. my reaction that I'll be honest, I clicked through to the full Empire review, and I don't know if it's available yet or not, because there was a massive pop-up that wanted me to tell them about my birth date and where different scars are on my knees in order to get past the pop-ups, and I didn't feel like it this morning, so I didn't. So I don't know honestly if the full Empire review or interview is up, but when it is, if it's not now, I really look forward to reading the whole interview because I always like to just see the context. But I think these seem like quotes that are similar to things that she maybe said other places during this round of promoting Chaos Walking.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, there's very much a, she's being open, she's being friendly, she's always great, has great energy, I think, in these interviews, but it's also like, I am prepared to answer the Star Wars questions, and here's my answer.
Yeah.
I'm open to it someday. I don't see a need for it right this second.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just like it's a clear, consistent, and honest answer from her. And this is the part that is you and I revisiting stuff of, I love Rey's journey. I love that end with her having, learned from the past, but taken her step forward into the future with her awesome yellow blade that is built from her past and her life experience. And there's a part of me every time I watch Rise of Skywalker, they're just like, I want nothing but the adventures of Jedi Knight Rey Skywalker right now. There's a huge part of me as a fan that's what I want. But I also just understand, let the character breathe, you know, and let's catch up with the character once Daisy Ridley has had some other life experiences. Let's catch up with the character once we as a culture have, you know, rested on the great sequel squabbles. Mm-hmm. and let the character take a step forward and be experiencing something new so we can all take the legacy that's been created with the character in the sequel trilogy and take a step into the future with that character so there is something new for both Daisy Ridley and Ray to explore.
Yeah, there's something to letting it breathe for a lot of different reasons, but I love what you said about just Daisy herself. Not that we want her to go experience a heartbreak or tragedy and bring back to the character, but I am interested right now, and why I say look into the future from 2021 and the last few years behind us now as Star Wars fans, and seeing Mandalorian, seeing Luke and Mandalorian in the Mandalorian season finale, I could see another property, another Star Wars story where Rey shows up in a different capacity. I would love to see the adventures of Jedi Rey, like you would too, but just, you know, Rey showing up in kind of almost a spiritual wizard wave of to help another character or to appear. I don't know. There's something kind of intriguing of that. If you could just revisit it almost in a one shot of another show that we haven't even dreamed of yet.
Well, and if the guesses are right from the little bit of language they've used for the Rogue Squadron movie, if it is set after the sequel trilogy, there is, you know, plenty of possibility of the idea of Jedi Knight Rey Skywalker floating around, that those characters are aware of her, you know?
Yeah, I don't, what is it? Is it Spartacus where the feet of Jesus show up to help Charles Maston? Is that the one? I'm not as great in my classic movies as I used to be. Yes.
That, maybe. Yeah. I used to go to a Spartacus party every year where my movie, classic movie obsessed friend, timed it so that the end of the film happened as there was little sun breaking.
Wow.
So I've seen Spartacus a few times, but I don't remember.
I can't
that particular reference.
But that could work. Yeah. Let's start a rumor. Daisy Ridley says Rey returns in Rogue Squadron. You heard it here.
I love that. The rumor you're trying to start is Rey's boots will appear Rogue Squadron.
They're made for walking and healing. You heard it here at Movie Barf Dop. Stop it now. That's where I think. So we'll see it. Yeah, the answer is nothing particularly new. We don't even need to dwell on it too much. But it's encouraging to hear that she had a good time. And by the way, I just not comparing against the other performers' experiences and those who've spoken out. You know, about some of the good things and bad things about being in Star Wars. John Boyega, in particular, who Golden Globe winner, John Boyega, we should have. Not contrasting and comparing the stories, but I just like hearing that Daisy Ridley herself looks back with fondness on her time in the galaxy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you had this great question about what Rey stories you want to see in the future. Do you have Rey stories that you long for in the future?
Other than the showing up to help and just being part of someone else's journey, I think, unlike Luke running away, failing everything, I would love to have some sort of success in setting up, not to say Jedi school, but the next generation, and seeing after a while and having a chance to look back on Rey post Rise of Skywalker, going and experiencing being a Jedi, experience restarting things, maybe experiencing love, maybe experiencing the loss of love, maybe the loss of life, maybe those around her, maybe the loss of the diminishing of the connections with the friendships that used to be strong and life just takes you away. And just being looking back the journals of Rey and seeing everything and just kind of seeing the galaxy through her eyes and not necessarily having her directly affiliated all the time with the new Republic or whatever comes after her. And, you know, if there's a giant war and the Yuuzhan Vong show up, maybe she fights in that. But you know what I mean? Like the journals of Rey, looking back, almost like she's dropping a necklace on the Titanic, off the Titanic. Just what she experienced. Would be an interesting take for me.
It's been 84 parsecs. Yeah. I know the measurement discussion. Yeah, I think when I was thinking about this, I think what's interesting to me of, you know, exploring her as a character, mm-hmm. you know, what parts of being a Jedi challenge her. I think, you know, when we talk about her journey being complete, I think Rey needed to find out that she didn't need to wait for anyone else, that she was the next generation, that she was the hope, that she was the rightful, you know, wielder of the blade, the mantle of the Jedi. But then along with that, there was also the story of what she wanted was community. She wanted friends and family, and she wanted to be a part of something. That makes stories of her as a teacher really interesting to me, as a mentor or a parent, if she's, you know, restarting the Jedi Order, of, you know, how does she handle being that person who is stepping into that leadership role? Even the Lego thing, you know, was dealing with that immediately. Yeah. After her trying to train Finn, it's, to me, it's a really interesting place for her to go of like, I found my strength, I found my community, now I kind of have this responsibility of creating a kind of community by being a Jedi teacher, and how do I deal with that? And that's really, I think that's really interesting to me, because we got to see these great stories of the original trilogy characters in the sequel movies of when they're, you know, older, and they're, it is time for them to truly pass on the baton. But with Obi-Wan, we got the story of the teacher actively trying to train the Padawan, but so much of the storytelling was about Anakin, and it always had the shadow of the tragedy over it. I think there's something that we haven't truly on screen seen, the sort of teacher in their prime, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and the younger generation characters are there, but it's not their story. This is a story about the 35-year-old teacher. Like, that would be really interesting to me about Rey, because we haven't on screen. We've seen it, but it hasn't been the focus on the mentor.
The idea of a little bit of success in redoing this for I could get behind that.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
And yeah, not having it be like Star Wars Harry Potter, which just gets pitched a lot, which is not a bad idea at all on any level. Focusing on the teacher. I like that idea.
Yeah, yeah. Rey's Jedi school, where you don't spend a lot of time with the kids.
Yeah.
It's Harry Potter if it was all about the teachers.
You just have a couple of Padawan being like, I saw Master Skywalker. She was getting a hamburger at a restaurant. I saw her. She had a car, and yeah.
Truly wonderful is the mind of a child.
Liam, finish your food.
Close the shades and eat your sandwich, Liam. Sandwich.
Final little story of the day here. Kind of fun one here. Star Wars Pinball VR is on the way. Yeah, so this is coming April 29th from Zen Studios. Now, this is a long-running series. I don't have it. I don't play it. But I love pinball in real life. So the virtual reality version has me intrigued, even though I don't have anything to play it on right now. 8 tables will be included in this set, including a Mandalorian-themed one. So, Joseph, first thing I need to know is your thoughts on pinball as a form of entertainment. And then what other VR Star Wars games do we want after this one?
I very much enjoy pinball. I am not a pinball wizard and never have been. I've hung out with a couple of friends who are like pinball wizards, who are like, you know, well, you play for a very short few minutes because you're not going to play very long. My friend will tell me about the history of this machine and when they got the high score and how. And like, so I feel like I've had kind of a peek into the world of being a true pinball obsessive, because I've had some fun friends, and I love the weird aesthetic of them, that they're kind of this, you know, this game that is so simple it means you have to be an absolute master, because it has such nuance in its simple rules of physics, but then it's also just the fact that they are also like these little cabinets that are just strange celebration of particular pop culture moments. So I am not a huge pinball person, but I'm really intrigued by them. I really like them.
Yeah, I am. I am not great. I have my moments. I have my moments. I'm like Han on pinball, but when I'm in Vegas, if I got a time, I'll swing over to the Pinball Museum, which is really just like a warehouse with a banner on it. It's just play old video games, including the original Star Wars game. Yeah, so I like it. I like the Star Wars ones. Yeah, it's weird. You're a Simpsons fan, or you're like, oh, pinball, Kiss pinball. I need it. Yeah, it's fun in its own way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the Phantom Menace one, you know, I have definitely seen and definitely enjoy. And pretty much any time I see it, I have to take a picture of it, even though I have plenty of pictures of it.
Right. But yeah. You know, with the power of VR, you know, running rapid these days, there, kids. What other Star Wars like kind of game would you want that isn't, you know, you being a Jedi fighting the ghost of Vader or anything like that? Like, what other kind of, we got pinball. What do you want Star Wars related?
I'm just going to be real honest because, like, you know, sometimes the games I've wanted, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that kind of exists. And I don't have the time or the physical space. I will break everything in my home if I swing a lightsaber. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In VR. And I know I could, you know, I could get, there's those great Vader games, right? That great Galaxy's Edge one looks. I was also going to say, like, I want just one where you can hang out at a bar. Like, well, that's you can do that in Galaxy's Edge and just hang out with that bartender. So I think the honest answer for me is I want a Jedi meditation VR game that is about sitting quietly. I want it to just be actual meditation, like a really calm yoga video with Tara Sanube. That's what I want.
It's not weird at all. I mean, not at all. I think it's great. Plus, parents, you know, if you get some, you know, rambunctious kids, like, sit and do your Star Wars meditation game. Sit quietly for an hour. Tara Sanube said so. I think it'd be great. My mind kind of drifted to the bar thing too. You know, been there, done that, I guess. But I guess I just really want to go into Chalmers and order a drink from O'Hare. Like, I want to tug on his sleeve.
Tugging on O'Hare's sleeve does sound great. Maybe someday I will get fully into VR. This is such a cool use of it. I like that you walk into not like this great fantasy setting, but a real world fantasy setting of, look at all the pinball machines and collectibles in here.
Yeah.
In virtual reality. And I was reading, that's what you win if you do well at the pinball games, is you win collectibles to put on your wall. And it's like, wow, we're virtual reality. That is all physically possible.
Yeah.
In real life.
It's getting there. I'm telling you. Like, and I it's so funny. Anytime we talk about video games and we kind of ask ourselves these questions, like, what other games do you want? And you have some fun answers, silly answers. And sometimes those are also our truths or our silly answers. But I got to tell you, VR really involved. I want to be sitting, but a VR pod racing game. I don't know why I always go to pod racing. I want a pod racing sim game where I manage a pod racing team. But imagine sitting down on your couch at your house or, you know, my couch here and just having the feeling of being in a pod. It'd be insane.
Yeah.
It'd be insane.
No, the feeling of speeding through a pod. Great. Yeah. Cause I want to sit.
Yes.
Because I went through the great Nintendo Wii change where I thought that was going to change my life. I'd be like, yeah, man, if I could play a video game and I had to physically do those things, I'd be so healthy. And then within like seconds, everyone I knew figured out, like, you know, you could do tennis sitting down. So I'll embrace the honesty. I want to be able to sit down during VR. Yeah. I love the idea of you could sit in the pod and you get that feeling of racing. But, you know, you have also preached so well on your desire for the managing of a pod racing circuit or team. I'd also be happy with a VR game. I'm just behind a desk. Bring me the reports on how this person's doing. What are Team Toe's stats?
Love that. I absolutely love that. Team Toe's stats. Yeah, that's great. So, I could really get lost in the podcast, but I just got to find a way to design the game and let's sell it. Let's force center game it. Let's do it. That's it. So Star Wars virtual VR is coming your way April 29th for those who love those kind of fun games. We're almost out of here for a quick break. On the other side, your questions. But before we do that, we're going to do the Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we got?
That is right from the High Republic. It was the book that I've been reading this weekend. I think some of our listeners have probably already finished it. But for those of you who haven't, we think you should give a listen to Into the Dark by Claudia Gray. Claudia Gray, always one of our favorite authors here on Force Center, and this is her first journey into the High Republic, and we are going to be doing a deep dive, a book review discussion soon, so if you want to be all caught up with us, you can check it out here.
Check it out on us indeed at audibletrial.com/Force Center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Force Center. For your free audiobook. All right, quick break. Let's reset and come back and take your questions here on Force Center.
Hold up.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
Welcome back to 4Center, to the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. We are about to take your questions from Twitter, from Patreon, and Joseph, let's get on to it.
That is right. We've always got 2 questions from Twitter, 2 questions from our patrons on Patreon. So we go first to Twitter. This question came to us from Dante Palpatine. Here is what it says. Din is the rightful, yet uninterested, wielder of the Darksaber. Unable to just pass it along, he must find a way to allow another person to earn the relic. The answer is simple. Let's get ready to rumble. Din sets up a royal rumble. Winner gets the Darksaber, including participants from all eras, who will be the Mandalorian holding the Darksaber high above their head at the end. Ken, this is a great question. And since we were just talking about pinball, I'm now picturing it as a pinball battle. But I don't think that's what Dante was asking.
No. Listen, professional wrestling talk here. So, yeah, you got battle royals, which is, say, 30 combatants in a ring at once. But Royal Rumble, they two start, and then every 2 minutes, sometimes a minute 30, they'll enter the ring. All right, so this is great. It's my favorite wrestling event, actually.
Okay, is it because you get to, like, cycle through different personalities and ideas clashing?
I mean, you honestly literally just explained it using your theme skills to explain it. The appeal of it is, especially as a kid, when you're, you know, a lot of times, whether it's the simple idea of heels and faces, but just people that wrestlers that aren't working together often in matches, and you get to see them and you get to see, well, two bad guys must face off, and well, two guys, good guys work together. But then if they're the last two, will they turn on each other? Yeah, it's exactly what you described. And as someone who's booked some of these matches for a small independent wrestling company, they're really fun to book and put together and tell a great story with. So I'm all about it, Dante. This is a great question. To run through the list of all, I mean, you know, who are you going to put 30 folks in the ring? You got Casca Reeves has the advantage right now because Sasha Banks, Mercedes Renato has been in Royal Rumble. Oh, so, you know,
damn.
So I would put some money down on her. But I, as far as who wants it, I mean, going through all eras here, I wouldn't trust Paz Previsla or Paz Visla. I wouldn't trust them. But Grievous is frighteningly enough. Grievous might be really good in this. He's hard to move, hard to get a hold of. You can't kick or punch him. He's got four.
Wow.
I don't want him to win. He might be a good choice.
Do you think he's just invading the Mandalorian battle?
Yes, I think he wants a good fight. He just wants the power, right? Wants to prove he's the greatest warrior.
I mean, that's kind of a good Royal Rumble if it's like mostly Mandalorians and then Grievous just shows up. Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't invited, dude.
Yeah, you weren't like, there.
I don't care.
I drew number 30. Yeah, that might be it. And that's not for storyline's sake. I don't know. You know, I want. She doesn't want it, right? Sabine is still, I want her to one day grow into it. You know, I don't feel, yeah. I think she was right to pass it on. I think Bo-Katan was the right choice at that point. But I still look at Sabine and go, hey, maybe one day, when you're ready and when you want it, this could be yours.
Yeah, man, I had fun just trying to make a list of Mandalorians, you know, Sabine. And then, of course, I know it's controversial, open for discussion, but, you know, Boba Fett, Jango Fett, mm-hmm. You got Din, Bo-Katan, Pre Vizsla, the Armorer, Corky, yep. Tar Vizsla, Casca Reeves, Axe Woves, a bunch of other, you know, all of Sabine's family, all these characters. You got a lot to work with. Mm. But I think the thing that fascinates me about this whole fight is, you know, as fans, it's a real fun discussion always to have the, who is the toughest, who's the most clever, who's got the best, you know, equipment. But like intrinsic to the Darksaber is the story of, you know, who deserves it, right?
Right.
And it feels like, okay, well, maybe if I was being asked, like, who would win the fight, I might, in terms of just who's the biggest badass, it might be one thing, but much like wrestling, right? It's it's about the story. It's about who earns it, who's going to move it forward, right?
Totally.
So I think if it was truly for me, in across eras, you got a time scoop from Doctor Who and you can put anybody, any Mandalorian in this, I think there's a massive battle. I think everybody is bleeding, wounded, and then she was never on the actual ticket. But I think once they're all worn down, I think Satine walks in with a blaster set on stun and just zaps the last person and takes it because Satine is somebody who is focused on it's not about the battle. It's about the leadership.
I like this. It's like playing Fortnite without violence, the pacifist way. I could be behind that idea.
She, to me, is still...
You know, Bo-Katan deserves it. Sabine deserves it, but I think Satine, man, you're right. That's the one that really.
If you're talking about all eras, you know, I really love where actual Mandalorian left off this story of Din doesn't want it now, but he might come to want.
And if Satine shows up, you get Obi-Wan cut to Obi-Wan in the crowd, like, oh my, what do I do? Like, oh.
I think he's rooting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The only other complication for this for me is Grogu a Mandalorian? That would change things.
Oh yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Great, very fun question, Dante Palpatine. Any other thoughts before we move on, Ken?
No, I mean, I apologize for inserting Grievous in there. I just think he wouldn't care, and he's tough. But I still think Sabine. I'll go with Sabine.
Okay, Sabine, Satine, or Grievous. No, I love that you inserted Grievous because, I mean, that's a part of this story of, like, who is a Mandalorian? Who isn't? This saber is about honor, and it's great to just have this coughing a-hole. Like, I don't care. Have I told you I have four arms? Watch this. Great question. We're going to move on to our next question from Lanky S. Daw. Lanky says, did you have any Star Wars expectations of prequels, sequels, or other stuff that you now find retrospectively weird? Great question. Ken, were there expectations that you've had over the years that, looking back, are now like, why did I think that? Or it was weird that I thought that.
Yeah, this is a great question. And I got to tell you, this one of the ones that we just might find another way to come back to another time, because I was racking my brain and there's a lot there. And you know, you're going back in time. I'll say a lot of, if not all of my Luke stuff for the sequels was a little bit more, I hope he comes running down the mountain with a flaming sword and kills everybody, which is just a weird thing, you know. But I think there's some excitement there. It wasn't that I just completely misinterpreted what I saw in Return of the Jedi. I didn't, but it was just like, you're excited. You want him to get involved in the fight, which is part of the understandable disappointment felt by some. And, you know, I complicated the conversation. But I think some of the, looking back, I mean, I was really, really big on an idea of Luke and Rey going to find her mother. And I could actually be in like, she's got a lightsaber too. Let's all go fight the bad guys.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great. For an expectation for Last Jedi?
Yes, coming out of Force Awakens. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's retrospectively weird, but like going back to my earliest memories of having time between Empire and Return of the Jedi to speculate, you know, part of the power of Return of the Jedi to me at that time was, the question was simply, can Luke become strong enough to kick his father's ass? I was, you know, quite young.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like that. That was the question. There wasn't another one. It was, could Luke beat him? You know, because yeah. You know, I was around kids on the playground. That's how they talked. You know, I have memories of my brother saying, like, I don't know what's going to happen because Luke's never going to be powerful enough to stop Darth Vader. And I'd get real upset and be like, yes, he is. He's going to learn to throw those boxes back at Darth Vader. There's no way. So I think it's not necessarily, it's weird to think about now because I've lived with the truth of Return of the Jedi for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely that. There were those rumors going around, right, Ken? Back me up on this or tell me I'm full of hooey, that we would see Han as a kid in the prequels at some point.
Yeah, right. I think 12, 13-year-old Han, or maybe a little younger, right? On Kashyyyk, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, I think that was maybe a part of some outlines, I think, or that kind of thing. But I remember, for whatever the actual truth is that is easily Googleable, the experience for me was that push-pull by the time we were getting toward Revenge of the Sith, where you know, friends of mine who'd grown up with the original trilogy and had all those kind of standard complaints about the prequels of like, it's not fun. We expected to see how Darth Vader cut down all the Jedi. We don't need to spend a bunch of time with him, you know, as a kid and wooing Padme. And we don't need all these answers. We don't need everything to be connected. You know, there was so much umbrage about Vader having a connection to 3PO. So on one hand, every Star Wars conversation was the list of umbrages at Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, but still before Revenge of the Sith, then people would be like, but maybe like Han with acne, that would be cool. Like, why did we want that? Why did anybody want that? You know?
Yeah, I think it was scrambling for that kind of connection. Indeed, you mentioned the prequels and the Anakin stuff. I looking back, I think, because there's, I'm trying to separate just like seeing a trailer and going, oh, here's what I think the movie's about. That can lead to weird expectations. For certain, we've been living in that world the last 5 years. But like I always say, the Phantom Menace trailer is still one of my favorite trailers. But also, I still kind of wonder that movie that I thought I was going to see out of that one. But it was just the plot points were a little more jumbled up. You know, I thought they're escaping out of a planet under, you know, big fight. And we got all of it. It just, I think I was expecting it in a different way. So I wouldn't call it too weird, but I'm there on the Anakin stuff. I often say I never watched Star Wars on the surface. I will defend myself there, but I'm part of that generation that maybe missed what George was trying to do. And I just was, I wanted Anakin to fall sooner. And I wanted him see a movie, spend a movie with him chasing around and cutting Jedi in half, you know, because that to me was the fall of Vader. The fall of Vader was I'm evil, and this is what I'm going to do. Not this, not what we got. And now as time goes on and the more you and I dive into these things, the more I watch Clone Wars and see the connections, I'm so happy I wasn't writing the prequels. And like where we're at, but I won't call it weird, but you know what I mean? Just of like, I look back and go, why did I just want Darth Vader to be a cool badass murdering people?
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's a lot to unpack there. And we have in some episodes, we did an episode a little while back about like why we enjoy villains. And I think there is a power to the weight of hearing Obi-Wan, you know, talking a New Hope about this horrible tragedy that Vader helped, you know, hunt down and destroy the Jedi, that there is a fascination with wanting to see that. I think a desire to be able to process tragedy in a safe way. But then there's that flip side of it where, yeah, it would have sucked to have lost all of the depth and the nuance so we could get as much chop in time as possible.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. that balance. And it's part of the reason I love the Rogue One hallway scene, because it gets a little bit of that. Like, yeah, that's what Vader was, an unstoppable, horrific force. But it's not the whole movie, you know?
Not the point there. And the final one for me, looking back, I was, you know, there was some stuff with Snoke, and we didn't not knowing who Snoke really was and not knowing the big connections, having great, wonderful theories, but also just, you know, this idea that there was other apprentices he had taken. I was really excited about the possibility of an apprentice fight.
Oh, that's how Kylo would have been challenged in Last Jedi.
Part of his completed training, you know, just great. You got to fight these apprentices, you know. Not saying it's weird or that it couldn't have been cool or done in a certain way, but I was really up on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Two more for me. I'll make them short. For the Phantom Menace trailer, I was so excited because it's a trailer, right? It's it's a teaser up to a point, sometimes literally a teaser trailer so there's an assumption of like, the moments you see will be expanded upon, right? Which I have since learned that's not how it works.
Right.
But I remember being so incredibly excited that we would learn exactly what the Sith wanted revenge for. At last we will reveal ourselves. At last we will have revenge.
Yeah.
I was so pumped going into Phantom Menace for the PowerPoint presentation from the Sith of why they dislike the Jedi and what they were getting revenge for, which, you know, it's so funny because a lot of these ideas eventually do play out. There's great moments in canon of Maul feeling unwanted and like the pain he experienced in his Sith training, being basically raised by Palpatine, raised in hate as a weapon, that he wouldn't have had to endure that if maybe the Jedi came for him. So it gives a little bit of a personal reason. And then, of course, you know, in the much bigger picture, like that's part of the point is this desire for revenge is empty and pointless. The Jedi didn't do anything. Yeah. It's that's what these Darksiders need to feel, is they always need to feel that there's a, you know, an other to hate, and the Jedi are great. Great place to direct that energy. So I think that's maybe a weird one. And kind of matches my growth and understanding of Star Wars is like, yeah, there's not a particularly intriguing answer for that. It's supposed to be empty. That's part of the point.
Yeah.
And then last one for me is a Force Center classic, looking back on our very early days. Mm-hmm. That episode we did in your old bedroom, a couple homes ago, for you, when we were doing the build up to Force Awakens, and I thought that Luke would be in the whole third act, which that isn't that unreasonable, but I remember just being like, "It's this." We're seeing a movie that's not advertising the third act at all. Like, there's going to be new posters once the film comes out with Luke in the corner, because you know, like because he's going to be in it so much.
Right.
Happy to end up being wrong about that one as well. But like, yeah, that maybe the single weirdest one that I ever had is like, once The Force Awakens come out, there'll be new posters with Luke on them.
Yeah, I remember those discussions. It just seemed you couldn't fathom any other way, though, right?
Yeah, Mark Hamill's all over. Like, yeah. He's in the credits. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the heady days of mid-2015 Race to Mars.
Exactly.
I thought for a second when I saw this question, I was like, I should maybe dig up an old Jedi Alliance episode with Maude and I going through news and everything. You're going to have a lot of, you know, you're going to have a lot of those. Hey, you saw a picture and you took a guess. So there's all that. But the spirit of this question was those weird expectations. So great question. More to come maybe on that.
Absolutely. So we'll move on to our questions from our patrons on Patreon. First one comes from Mac. Mac says, so recently I've been doing a Game of Thrones rewatch. While revisiting it, I think my favorite scenes in the entire show are the ones which are Arya and the Hound, when they're basically just walking through the countryside bantering and getting into the occasional shenanigans. So my question is, if there was a show, doesn't really matter what it's about, that featured two Star Wars characters off on the side in a similar setting, just walking and bantering with occasional shenanigans, which two would you choose? Throw all timeline, logistics, etc. out the window, just any two characters from all of Star Wars. I think I would have to go with the old curmudgeon-y Yoda from Empire and K2SO. Feel like the banter would be absolutely amazing, and K2 constantly stirring the pot and getting them into trouble would annoy Yoda so much it would be interesting, fun, and hilarious. As always, I love all the shows. You guys are awesome. Thank you, Mac. Thank you for the awesome question. There is a strong desire, I think, in the Star Wars fandom for a Doctor Who time scoop in Star Wars. Yeah, yeah. Just dump the characters together from different time periods, which is really great and really fun. I know people probably don't literally want that, but it is a great way to explore the characters and how they might relate to one another. Yeah. Ken, obviously a question close to your heart, being a diehard Game of Thrones fan. I'm with Mac. The Arya and the Hound thread is one of the best parts of the show for me. Where do you go with this?
Where do I go? I'll tell you what. I got three spots here. Dr. Aphra and almost anybody. I love Aphra of the character. I've been catching up with the comic, and I love Aphra of the character. And sometimes I am as annoyed with her as the other characters in the story are. Like, and I mean that in the best way possible. Like, she just brings that to the table, and she's a great character. So almost her. I mean, her and Santa Staros are some of my favorite adventures and favorite stories. So I could say that, but almost Dr. Aphra and anybody, because she has a way. She is a way. And then I got this. I got Shriv and Lando.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that, you know, clearly, you know, we get to play a level with them, and it's one of my favorite levels. And Shriv, you and I have talked about one of our favorite characters. Lando, one of my favorite characters. The idea that the scoundrelly, smooth talking playboy of the galaxy and the sardonic, I didn't even want to be here today. sidekick, running around, just high to their ventures. Like I could take a Shriv and Lando comic for, you know, do that, or a side game, or anything. I'd love them.
Yeah. They are on that mission together on Battlefront 2, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's really fun.
Yeah. And that is that's a banter rich episode or mission.
Yeah. It really is. And made you just kind of, you already kind of liking Shriv, but then the way he plays, you know, Dan Donahue, we always shout out, great voice work for that.
So who's your third?
This is an alternate timeline. Talk about dumping, you know, people from all timelines. This is all the same era. I want Han, Chewie, and Rey in the timeline team up that it really couldn't happen if we wanted the galaxy to be saved. But when Han offers her a job, and she's like, are you offering me a job? And maybe correctly turns it down. What are those adventures like? The old man, the young ingenue, and the co-pilot best friend, like going around the galaxy doing jobs. I don't know. I just, something about it. Just their kind of warm banter. You know, he's not never mean to her. He's tough, but never, but just the compressor issue, everything. I could take that. That's a little like Hound and Arya for me.
Yeah, I was going to say that is such an essential part of the vibe of Arya and the Hound, right? Of Arya is obviously they are in conflict with one another in so many different ways, but the Hound is being this weird father figure that he doesn't want to be, right?
Doesn't want to be. And perhaps in the end gives her the best advice she ever gets, you know? So I think, that'd be fun again. So alternate timeline, because we just don't have movies at that point, but
yeah. And then he has to fight Phasma. So yeah, I mean, come on, it's practically Star Wars.
Yeah.
I picked three as well. I don't know if I did a great job jumping around the timeline, because they're all characters who I guess could end up in the same place. You know, I often go to Kenobi because I think obviously he is one of my favorite characters. But a lot of these who would you want in a thing is that Kenobi has so many facets to his personality. Sometimes when somebody a little bit more assertive or risk taking is around him, he kind of takes a step back into being the sort of lecturing, you know, let's do it the way we're supposed to kind of guy. But left to his own devices, he springs traps and he's very snarky, and he's Mac uses this great phrase of stirring the pot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kenobi in conversation is a pot stirrer, right? I mean, he loves to poke at people and find out what they actually think.
Oh.
So the version of Fate where Leia makes it to Tatooine, Luke doesn't particularly get involved. You know, Kenobi and Leia try to go on a mission and, you know, they get stranded. Almost all these are, in my mind, like they're on a mission and they get stranded on a planet and they need to work it out together. But so Kenobi and Leia together would be just a masterclass in snark.
Mm, that'd be great.
You know, and Leia's, you know, as we've been discussing on deep dive episodes about her journey, you know, she could be wound pretty tight. She's got a lot of responsibilities, you know? You know, would Kenobi poke at her?
Yeah. Try to, you know, teach her some patience or teach her, I don't know. Yeah.
Open up to her feelings, you know? Yeah. Or would she just be, you know, super mad at him for not being more proactive these last years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Be some great stuff. And then venturing a little bit more into the straight comedy. Kylo Ren and C-3PO. my weird headcanon for this story, this is just the way my mind works for it, try to make sense of them, even though I could just scoop them from time like Mac is asking. You know, what if 3PO had some knowledge inside him that Kylo needed?
Right.
So the height of the First Order conflict. And so Kylo couldn't do what every bone in his body wants to do, which is just hack him to bits, hack him into such small bits that they can never put him back together again. Because Kylo's got to have a relationship with this droid, right? Like, has there ever been moments where, like, you know, young Ben was mad because he felt like, you know, 3PO got more attention than him? And he's this incredibly powerful Force user, and all he wants to do is pull him apart bolt by bolt with his mind, and he can't. And 3PO is just lecturing him, poking at him, and talking about his childhood. And
I gotta imagine there's an incident where like a 10-year-old Kylo spun 3PO in the air, just like almost like Luke did on Endor, but just like tormenting 3PO because he's got to make him do his homework or something. I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, Kylo, I think 3PO definitely was the victim of an accidental force tantrum at some point.
Right, right. and what I love too, this goes down rabbit holes, doesn't it? Of just the idea that, you know, Leia's like, Ben, don't you dare do that again. And then Han's like, yeah, yeah. And her mom leaves the room. He's like, I gotta tell you, I never liked that Goldenrod droid too. Do what you want, kid.
Just give him a little push. Yeah. It's okay. Don't, a little trip.
Don't break him.
I love it. And then my final is kind of inspired by something that's real. I think one of the best examples of this kind of odd couple stuck together on a mission is that Clone Wars two-parter with Mace Windu and Jar Jar, where Mace is stuck with Jar Jar, which is that great, like, fine. I'll find a way. But what entertained me is maybe a little bit later in both their lives of Jar Jar on a mission with Maul. I think there's something about that to me that like they were the two opposing lightning rods of our generation's experience of of Phantom Menace. Like, every bit of merchandising had Maul all over it. Everything was about Maul. All of us who wanted cool action and you know, even more deadly villains is Maul. And then Jar Jar stepped in some poopy. Yeah. They're like the opposing factions of the Phantom Menace in the cultural mind. But then they both have gone on to have these journeys of being these more sympathetic, tragic characters. So, you know, is there a real opposites attract where they could almost bond over their tragedy? And the conflict that kept popping into my mind when I was thinking about this is, you know, Jar Jar does seem to have this sort of weird, you know, stumbling luck where he wins out and he survives through being clumsy almost. And how much that would just, after all the pain that Maul's endured, just like, how do you bumble through life and survive? Yeah. How does every failure help you?
I don't understand.
Jar Jar Binks.
This is a great, you know, they did, Callus and Zeb. And then it's you know, Enemy Mine, the great movie from the 80s, which I always loved, saw in theaters, gosh. That kind of almost a bottle episode, but two enemies being stuck together. Come on, two ships crash. It's Jar Jar and Darth Maul and some godforsaken planet. They need each other to survive.
It could actually happen in canon.
Yeah.
Disney Plus show. Let's make it happen. Maul and Jar Jar go a walking.
Yeah.
A great Disney Plus show. This is a very fun question from Mac. Unless you got any other thoughts, Ken, we'll move on to our last question.
Oh, I just want all these stories now.
Me too. So we can at least write them in our head canon. For now, we'll go to PQ, which, spoiler, stands for a full name that we'll get to. Have you ever seen something in Star Wars across any media that has made you want to show it to a friend who is ambivalent about Star Wars? Let me give you an example. My sister is a huge Muppets and Labyrinth fan and even did puppet theater. In Rise of Skywalker, when Lando tells his Muppety cab driver to get going and they respond, okay, I immediately lost it and thought, my sister needs to see this. Signed, Pat Quinn. Shout out to Coloni, the Muppety cab driver. Mm-hmm. So great, Rise of Skywalker. Ken, where do you go with this? What kind of moments have made you go like, I should show it to this friend or this friend might love
it? Yeah, so this is a great question. And I kind of went in maybe a general sense because I'm trying to think of those specific moments, you know, because there's always, you know, I had seen Solo a couple days before you and was like, I can't wait till he sees that weirdo. There's that, but you're not ambivalent towards Star Wars. So there's been, for me, it isn't oh my gosh, a specific moment so-and-so needs to see this. It's how can I further my love, which is my journey for sure. But just like, I want sometimes people to get pulled in a little bit more. If they are, I love Star Wars, or I love the movies, but I don't do the TV shows, or I don't go into the animated shows, or I didn't love that movie, or I didn't love that storyline. That's where I went with it. So I honestly, I just did this 2 weeks ago. I've sent the link to your Rey's journey counseling episode a few times to people of like, I get what you're saying about Rise of Skywalker. Why don't you listen to this episode? Just tell me what you think. I haven't heard back. It's been about so I do that. But the two kind of my twin sons episode of Rebels and then Lost Stars by Claudia Gray, which was special back in the day. But just one of those, like, you're looking to start with books. Go with this because it is so familiar. It's events that, you know, it's fun. It's classic. It's easy to digest because it's for maybe a quote unquote younger audience, but it's going to make you feel things and it takes you right into where we're going with the new era. Like a lot of folks recommended that one a lot and it's generally worked. I've only had a couple of, not necessarily for me. Twin Sun, same thing. I have, won't shout them out specifically, but some folks I know even in the Star Wars talking space are like, oh, I love it. I just don't do the animated shows. And I'm like, totally great. I understand that. I want them to watch Twin Sons, Rebels, Kenobi, Maul, and see the power and the potential of what could be done with those stories. I'll suggest that one a lot.
That's really, really great. And those are, Twin Sons that's such a great, great recommendation. Lost Stars, both really great things. Yeah, I think for me that it books, I definitely think of specific people who are maybe not sure about the books themselves, or, you know, they have liked Star Wars in the past, but aren't sure about all this new stuff, or, you know, really can't get into the sequels because they feel like there's this perspective that's left out. You know, there's a lot of great books. I think the Princess Leia and Rebel Rising, I recommend a lot. Mm-hmm. But for movies, yeah. So my dad, you know, grew up loving Westerns. Mm-hmm. And we would watch some with him on like Saturday afternoons when they were just on television. And, you know, he really facilitated my brother and I loving Star Wars. And he really liked Han Solo. And I think he liked Star Wars because it made his kids happy. But I don't know if he loved Star Wars, but he always liked Han Solo. And the line that he always would say is, "Never tell me the odds. I like that one." You know, and it was, you know, the part of Star Wars that spoke to the kind of characters that he grew up with, Han Solo really represented. So when I saw Solo, in particular, the train heist, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's such a, even though it's winter, it's so Western-y because it is a train heist. It is, you know, the characters down in the valley surrounded by mountains, that made me in the theater think of my dad, made me think like, I don't know if my dad would, you know, super enjoy the sequel movies, but he'd really love Solo. So I actually got a copy of on physical media of Solo and sent it to my dad.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And then the other one, it was not as powerful. It's not powerful enough for me to go like, here, you should watch this because you will love it. But it's very, very similar to Pat's question about a very specific moment. Bulio's delivery in Rise of Skywalker of "Win the war." I love that line. In the second I heard it in that first screening, I thought of you and I thought of many other friends of mine who are generally our age, who have a similar sensibility, who like those kinds of just sort of weird fun moments. And I thought a lot of my friends who have just kind of soured on Star Wars. Mm. It's too much or too involved, or they didn't like the prequels, or they didn't like the sequels. And it's just like, it's one of those moments that I always think like, that's an example of like just the exact kind of flavor that I know some of my friends like, mm-hmm. who are no longer, you know, who are no longer with Star Wars. And it's always like, but you would like so many moments. Check out Bulio. Win the war.
Win the war. I just watched that this morning on the day of this recording and smiled heartily.
Love it. Yeah. It's the delivery, but it's also the setup of, you know, what can we do for you? Like, win the war. Like, it's just a real easy thing to do, but it's also at the same time, like, yeah, of course. That's why I'm passing you dangerous information and risking my life, because I want you to win the war. Come on.
Win the war. And obviously now you can't unhear Hamill doing the voice, but it's, for the first viewing, had no, you know, you'd have no idea. You're taking it all in. And I was laughing this morning too, going, how did I not know it was him the second I heard it? I don't know. I was just so caught up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So those are some moments from me. Any others from you, Ken?
No, I'm going to go make a list of who I need to send some Star Wars to.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Pat, Mac, Lanky, and Dante. Oh man, I want a t-shirt that's one of those and because there are some great names together. But thank you all for the questions. Those are our questions, Ken.
Those are our questions. We are almost out of here. We want to let you know where you can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Look for a new prompt question soon. We pin it to the top, and hey, you can submit questions there. It's just easier for us, i.e. Joseph, to find them when he gathers the questions. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Podcast is available on Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now Amazon Music and other spots. And if you have another spot that, hey, you're listening to us right now, but you wish we were on somewhere else, just, hey, maybe let us know, and we can see if we can get on there. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. New patrons, we love having you come on board and support the adventures here. Got my own thing going on at catnapsock.com. By that, I mean, you know, I just talk into microphones about nerdy things and my life. Check out everything there. You can follow me at catnapsock. We like to highlight charities that we are supporting or working with in real life. And I've been supporting one This week, in honor of a listener over the good people, Jesse Roach, who's got a close connection to epilepsy. And so the Epilepsy Foundation of America is an organization that is getting us all together to fight epilepsy. So you can check that out at their website.
That is great. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all my other comedy adventures. Going to be doing that Muppets episode of my other podcast, Obsessed, with my wife, Sarah. If you are a Muppets fan, which I know there's a lot of Star Wars and Muppets crossover in the fandom, so you can all find all that stuff, links to all of it, on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. And the thing that I'm going to continue to shout out is a service called ResistBot. You can get it on desktop. You can get it on your phone. You can text. You can tweet, I believe. You can do lots of very, very easy communication with ResistBot, and it will super easy to sign up for. And then it will, you'll just ask it, you know, say a word, and it will let you know where you can send thoughts on everything that's going on in the world in terms of your elected leaders, if it's, you know, Senate and or House or at whatever level of government that you want to let your voice be heard. I just think it's so important that sometimes we can feel like we don't have power because we only have a little sliver of power as citizens, but it's important to use it. It's important to let our representatives know when we really want them to support something. It's important for us to let them know when they are supporting something that is super important to us, so that they know that they should continue that fight. I just think that there's a lot of really important stuff going on, and this is such a simple, fast, direct way to use the power that we have.
Absolutely. It's a good kind of power. Use that one, not the unlimited power and the search of the dark side. Great stuff. Always support that here at Force Center. So that is it this week. A full show. So for the Bad Batch, for Shriv, for Lando, and the journey of Rey and old Grumpy Han that we didn't see, we will see you next time here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.